Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
No.
Wow.
What are we doing? Yeah, well, you told me, but I'm...
For the bit.
I already forgot. So yeah. What's going on? What are we doing? How are we podcasting today? What's the thing?
Well, we're not reading any Macadoodles.
Okay.
First or second or otherwise.
Right.
Okay. It's our Tuesday live.
Yeah. If you haven't joined us before on Discord, you should. And more than that, you should stick around for more than like 30 seconds because... Here's the thing, guys. I'm just going to let you know up front. Every time we get into Discord and do our live, we lose audio. We don't have the audio. It doesn't work. We have to leave and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to sit through like 20 minutes to a half hour of banter that is mostly inside jokes.
Or me telling you what book I read or hate.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
Or a movie. I have to tell you about a movie.
If you do this like twice, 2 to 3 times... You just become part of the crowd and you're like, yeah, I'm in for this.
Yeah.
And then you make fun of us for doing the things that we do. And then you're in the crowd. And you're doing the thing.
And then you earn the right to tell me to fuck off.
Right.
But you got to be here 5 times.
You got to stick it out. You got to troop through.
Yeah.
Whatever. Power. Push through. You got to push through. You got to be there.
Live on Discord every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what we're doing right now. And I... told you that I came across this article that indicated that religion in the world is like on the decline.
Yeah.
And I found that unrealistic and I was a little skeptical about it. But then after I read the article, I was a little hopeful.
Okay.
And that seems like something we need in
that
the world today.
Good. Yeah. There's not a lot of hope in this world right now.
Hope and joy. What? So I kind of want to talk about that article.
Okay, sure. You know? Yeah. Well, are you ready to get into this?
Sure as fuck am.
All right, well, let's do it.
Okie dokie. All right, so this piece of media that I came across, it was written by Professor Dr. Detlef Pollack.
Okay.
From the Cluster of Excellence in the Religion and Politics Department at the University of Munster.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Professor Doctor. Jesus, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And so this was a press release that was put out, and then articles were written about the press release.
Okay.
By the school, because he and another guy... I forgot the guy's name already and I didn't note it, but he and the other guy.
Yeah, that other guy.
They,
you know, the other one.
Yeah. They do this study every year.
Okay.
And, they've updated their research and they wrote like a textbook about it or whatever.
I didn't get a call.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But the press release was entitled "Importance of Religion Has Declined Dramatically Across the World."
Okay.
And I was like, the importance of religion has declined dramatically across the world.
It's an interesting way of phrasing it. Not religion has declined, but the importance of religion has declined.
Yeah, and that's kind of what made me stop and go, hang on, what?
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, that gets into, like, what exactly is religion and what is God and, you know, all that stuff. But basically, this article posits what they say is sociologists of religion, present a new edition of one of the most comprehensive empirical studies of religious trends across the world, the updated and expanded new edition of the standard work entitled Religion and Modernity. So, okay. Religion Today kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even know that there was like a study on religion today versus other days.
Right, right.
So I don't know. The whole thing was kind of interesting. Here's another quote. The sociology of religion has observed for decades a decline in ties to religion and the church in Western Europe, including West Germany. However, the dramatic declines across the world in recent years came as a surprise even to a secular theorist, a secularization theorist like me. It is these trends that the new data in the book show. Hmm. So that kind of shows that he was being very objective in his studies.
Sure.
He is a secularization theorist,
yeah.
But he wasn't expecting to find more secularization.
Sure. Sure.
He was surprised by the finding.
Right.
And I found that kind of comforting, I guess.
I guess part of me feels like it's a little bit inevitable. Like our society is almost too fast paced for a God. And it's like beyond that, there's so much shit happening. Bad things, right? Like mm-hmm. There's so much bad shit that you either have to believe that the world's coming to an end soon because of God or that there is no God. You know, like those are basically your choices, in my opinion.
Well, I think there's two ways to kind of look at this article, because the one way is to say, well, yeah, logically it would make sense that that would go away. But that's not necessarily how it feels in the moment where we sit in this moment in time in the United States.
I was going to say, specifically in the United States, yes. Like in the United States, we are surrounded by religion on all sides, especially in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we can't hardly walk out our door without encountering religion.
You're going to trip over a church.
Yeah.
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 So I guess the knowledge of how it should be versus the but how it feels, though, I think that's what was making this article stick out a little bit to me. Like, what do you mean? Not that religion is declining, but the importance of religion. And is there a difference between those two? And what do you think and what do you feel about that?
Are you asking me or are you?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So I kind of see it as I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it. Like I just did a thing on our blog about 1 in 10 people globally. There's a Pew Research study that came out in January actually this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
And 1 in 10 have left their childhood religions that are under 55. So like the people under 55 are leaving religions that they were a part of. On top of people who are already secular or atheist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know exactly what that means either, right? Because a lot of people are embracing these online churches, and yeah, they left their religion, but are they embracing it there? Are they doing something else? Are they becoming
spiritual? Are they leaving their church, or are they leaving their religion? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Right. I guess my question, I think the real question would be, are they embracing something more secular, or are they just not, they just not have time for it, and they might pick it up later again?
Right.
You know, like, because this does feel more like we're just in this fast-paced world that ain't got time for that shit, you
right?
Know? So,
right.
But that's how I feel living here in the Midwest, surrounded by churches. And so again, I don't know that that's a fair perspective.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. One of the things that the study said was that although there has been an increase over the past 20 years in both the attention that society pays to a religion and in the number of political conflicts with a religious undercurrent, that we cannot ignore the decline in religious ties in many regions of the world. Which
sure.
I found that so, like, the juxtaposition of as religion is declining, the attention that we pay to it is increasing.
Right.
I did not expect, like, that sentence is like, oh, there it is. Because how can both be true at the same time?
Well, I think part of that is that it seems more foreign to a lot of people. Like, mm-hmm. oh, we're still talking about, that's still a thing. Oh, shit, that's causing problems. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more of a thing that we have to talk about because it's not just part of as many people's everyday life. You know, you mm-hmm. have to explain what this is, why this is happening.
Sure.
You have to give the backstory.
Well, and toward that end, we were recently asked by somebody in Australia why you and I specifically talk about politics so much in our religious podcast or our
sure.
anti-religion, as some people would call it, podcast.
Yeah.
However you want to phrase it.
Right.
And then while I was doing research for this, I came across an article. Like, it was in the top five articles that I came across, actually. So I didn't even barely go spelunking. It was just right up there. There was an attack at a Muslim mosque, I believe,
okay.
in Australia.
Yeah.
And so I just found it interesting that, like, right after we had been asked by somebody in Australia, like, why are you always talking about that over there? Like, it seems like religion and politics are separate. And I know they're very separate here in Australia. So what's going on with that? And well, yet,
I think there's a lot of self-sheltering from news that is harmful to your beliefs, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that people who are really religious are watching or paying attention as much, not all of them, but in, you know, like, you're in the US, for example, your evangelical Christians are pretty much watching Fox News, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very much generalizing here, sure. but like
Fox News or adjacent.
Right. And so they're not going to see the things that are happening to secular Americans, and they're not going to understand how policies that are religiously driven mm-hmm. are hurting people that are not of their faith because they're pushing these agendas as a religious group. You know, sure. they're not going to see those things because they only hear the good side of it, and they're like, well, we're just doing good things, and they don't get to ever hear the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sheltered from the harms, and they're sheltered from hearing what people in their group did to other people because right. it's not something that would be promoted as much. You yeah. know, yeah. it's easy to miss that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Here's another piece from that article. Contrary to what theologians may claim, the validity of secularization theory, which argues that processes of modernization are linked to the decline in the importance of religion in churches, mm-hmm. is beyond dispute. And the study explains the decline in the importance of religion by pointing to factors such as growing prosperity, democratization, the expansion of the welfare state, individualization, and cultural pluralization.
Sure.
So the conditions under which religious belief systems have to prove themselves have changed, which goes to what you were saying. Like, we don't have time for that.
Right. I mean, a lot of people are watching TikTok fucking preachers or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call them preachers because half of them aren't ordained. They're just,
yeah.
you know,
TikTok
personalities,
religious leaders.
Personalities.
Yeah. Yeah. But the conditions under which religious belief systems have to prove themselves have changed so fundamentally that belief in an afterlife or in God or in the efficacy of religious rituals or in the salutary power of religious institutions, all of this is no longer plausible for many people.
Right.
That's what the author
ain't got time for that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what you said.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I guess kids today, you know, they be on their phones. They don't have time for God is what it comes down to, right? Yeah.
Well, and I've heard many people say that they've left their church because their church isn't strict enough or whatever. Like, you were talking about individualism earlier mm-hmm. or individualistic ideas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I find that what happens is a lot of people go down rabbit holes with regard to religion one way or another.
Yeah.
Away from it or towards it, right? Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you you have this specific brand that is unto yourself, mm-hmm. and you have to find that matching personality mm-hmm. that you've created for your way of believing online somewhere. It's not something you're going to find in the church because there's not enough people like you to cater to that in one area.
It's like everybody has their own personal religious system.
Is it your own personal Jesus?
Yes, actually, that's funny that you said that because there's a 10-point list that I kind of wanted to go through here.
Yeah.
And that is one of the personal Jesus, the personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
Is one of the things on the list.
Right. It's one of those things that really bugs me when I'm trying to discuss secularism or atheism with people who are religious online is that they have an inability to step out of their own little whatever they are.
Right? Yeah.
And all I ever really want to know is like, what is your version of God? And they're like, it's God. And I'm like, no, you're there's so many fucking versions of God. I can't keep track of them all.
Yeah.
Which version are you? Like, what do you believe? What is it that you think God entails? What is it that you believe God means?
Right.
Because unfortunately for you, I have to ask that question because it matters. It matters regard to how we're going to have this discussion going forward, because I can't have a discussion not understanding where you're coming from.
Wait. Some Christians don't value the Old Testament at all. Other Christians believe it's very important.
Right.
You know, there's that. Some Christians are like, we don't worry so much about, like, if they're progressive Christians, right? They don't worry so much about the queer community. Whereas others are like, nope, it says so in the Bible.
Right.
Like, I need to know these things before we can actually converse.
Well, and I find more and more, discussing with people online at least, mm-hmm. that they don't really have a definition for their idea of what religion is.
That's because they literally
do have their own personal Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And to define what it is that they believe is almost impossible for me and is pretty much impossible for them as well. They don't even really understand what they believe because they haven't done the research to understand what they believe.
Right.
And they've gone down multiple branches of rabbit holes and just discovered this, whatever it is they believe on their own. And here they are and they exist there, but they can't define it.
That, and they think that your questions are antagonistic and that you're just being arbitrary or picky because those aren't the things that matter to them.
Right.
So you're like, no, but they do matter to other people though. They matter to other Christians.
I'd like to point out that Fern on our Discord just said that we're conflating belief with religion and God definition. Those aren't the same thing.
That is true, but you could have this conversation with many Christians and they wouldn't know the difference between those terms either.
Right.
So for where we live in the all intent and purposes, it really doesn't matter that those are separate things.
Sure. Sure.
But they are. Fern is right.
Yeah.
All right, here's the first point on the list of key findings from this study.
Okay.
When religious identities are linked to political, economic, or national interests, this often helps strengthen religion and the church. And for example, Christianity has risen rapidly among large sections of the population in recent decades, accompanied by an equally marked increase in national pride.
Sure.
So when, you know, your whole group identity becomes very, you know, tied to the religion.
Yeah.
Then it increases.
It helps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're grouping it with something else that everybody wants to feel part of something bigger. Mm-hmm. So like if you can make it part of something bigger, that definitely helps your brand, you know?
Yep. So that's what we've seen with MAGA.
Right.
They, you know, adopted the whole Christian faith and tied national pride patriotism with Christianity.
Right.
And so now when you say nationalism, they're like, well, why wouldn't I want to be a Christian national? And you're like, no, that's not that. You don't understand that term, and that's not a good thing, dum-dum.
Well, but from their point of view, it is a good thing. The Christian and being patriotic and nationalistic is like, yeah, I love America and I love being a Christian. You know, it's those are good things to them.
Right. So the second point was religious ties often weaken again once the political, economic, or national goals pursued through religious means have been achieved.
Okay.
And I was like, what? That's crazy. Like, but it makes sense because, like, during the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s, we thought that religion was on the decrease, right? We thought we were moving forward, like, with science and medicine and technology and stuff, right?
It seemed like that's the direction that we were heading, yeah.
It seemed like it.
Right.
And it seemed like, and this is still true, that, like, the LGBTQIA plus community was becoming more and more a thing that we could talk about openly, and you know, we're more exposure means more acceptance, that kind of thing.
And I think that has happened.
Yeah, and that's what I said.
You know,
that's what I said. Right. So that one is true. That has been a good thing.
So maybe liberalism peaked with regard to what we and then now we're like, oh shit.
Well, I'll get into why in a minute, but basically it was the large group felt threatened, you know?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And then the next one, number three, is if political or other non-religious interests coincide with religious interests, then non-religious interests may absorb the religious, such as Christianity plus MAGA equals nah, dog. So the same reason that, like with point one, they combined the two, and that made religion be big.
Okay.
It can also have the opposite effect, where people who are Christians, they see that nationalism is getting tied up with it, and they're like, ew, that's gross. That's not what I want in my religion.
Sure.
And so that's why you've seen some churches and some Christians turn away from that. Not as many as we would like, but
right.
They're like, I did not ask for this combination.
Well, and we've got people that regularly are on our Discord and that we know pretty well that through other means that left religion during Trump.
Yeah.
Like, especially his first term, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a thing that we've heard multiple times, actually.
Right.
And it was too much. Like, this guy is too much.
Right.
And you are forced to either deal with the hypocrisy or embrace it.
Right.
Right.
So it can make religion as a whole bigger, but it can make you lose individuals.
Right.
So both things can be true at the same time.
Sure.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't looked at it that way, you know?
Right.
Number four, the dwindling belief in a personal God, that whole personal relationship with Jesus that you were talking about earlier, is a sign of advancing secularization. Because each of us has our own personal relationship. So we don't have to worry about, like, the group think.
Well, you just said the dwindling belief in a personal God. So that doesn't
Belief in a personal God is a sign of advancing secularization.
Got it. But we were talking about earlier was, like, the trend towards a more personal God, because people are adapting to being secluded in their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also lead probably to people shying away from it because they don't care enough or they do their own research and fall away from it. Right.
So yeah.
Both of those things could happen.
Yeah. It's another case of both true at the same time.
Right.
P.S. I have a second note on this one.
Yeah.
The surveys in the study show that a diversity of spiritual options does not help strengthen faith. So the more ways that you can have that relationship with God or whatever, that doesn't make there be more religion. That makes there be, like.
So you're saying that the more churches that are in my town of 1,000 people where I grew up, the less religious we become.
That's what this study has found to be true over a large population.
I was going to say, I didn't find that to be true, but okay.
It wouldn't be true in a small population, because in a small population, everybody's going to find their own little club.
Sure.
Even if it's just in school, remember when kid was in elementary school, there was the white team and the blue team, right?
Okay.
And they took the first grade class, the entire first grade, and split them into two groups on a rotating schedule. And there was the blue team and the white team.
Sure.
And even at that, it was competition. You want your own little group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even in a small town, you're going to have like 1,000 different little churches, because we have to belong to a group.
Right, right.
Even if it's just that little elementary school, well, the kids in this group are smarter than the other group. Or yeah, the kids in this group, they do more sports, or they're more artistic, well, and, or whatever the case may be.
I mean, and for example, like when you get to, let's take, you know, Islam, right? Mm-hmm. You get into a Muslim country, they don't have choices there. So they're going to be much more inclined to be religious and be very adamantly religious, because mm-hmm. that is the religion that they have.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely in that case, you know, choice
solidifies
the choice. Right.
Right.
And when you have more choices, obviously that would cause more splintering and cause.
I think what we meant to say was lack of choice solidifies the choice that you make.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas the more choices that you have, the more splintered you are.
Sure. Sure.
And the more splintered that you are, that's gonna.
It lends to questioning. It lends to different ideas. It lends to whatever.
I mean, especially if you know you spend the night at your friend's house and you say, "Hey, mom, can I go to church with Susie on Sunday instead of to our church?"
Because
you know they go to a different one, and I'm spending the night. Can I go to theirs?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. So number five, the more people value self-determination, enjoyment of life, and self-fulfillment, the more distant they are from the churches.
Mm, millennials must not believe in any gods.
Millennials don't believe in anything.
Sorry, that was a bad millennial joke.
That was a bad
joke. I apologize to all the millennials that listen.
Just the one. I mean, I can see that, like self-determination, enjoyment of life, and self-fulfillment. You cannot simultaneously be looking for living your best possible life and becoming the best version of you and self-growth and self, all of the things.
Right.
And at the same time, then go to church on Sunday and find out how much you suck and how you're a worm and...
Well, and more than that, like if you're trying to better yourself, you want to take credit for it, right? Instead of giving it to God.
Yeah.
Right? And it always bugs me how people will be in a fucking doctor's office or hospital, and they're like, "Thank God I'm better." I'm like, no, thank your fucking doctor that you're better, and thank medicine that you're better, and thank all the things that got you here that you're better. Now, if you want to believe in God and think that he helped pull you through this, that's fine. But somebody else did the fucking work. So
I just want to know, whom the fuck do you think you is that God help you live?
Right.
Like, honestly, who is you that you are so fucking awesome that God came down and put his little precious finger on you, but not somebody else?
Specifically, finding keys is one thing that always bothered me.
Praise Jesus, I found my keys. Okay, I literally yesterday, and mind you, I love my parents.
Yeah.
I think they're awesome.
Sure. I mean,
in some ways. Insofar as I literally got a text from my mom. She had a follow up with her heart doctor. She had surgery a year ago.
Yeah.
Was it a year ago? No.
I mean, probably close to that.
No. 6 months ago. It was 6 months ago.
Okay.
Where she had a defibrillator pacemaker, like does both, put into her heart. And she just had a checkup, and she literally, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to fucking find the text right now as we are in the middle of this podcast, and I'm going to read you. From the heart doctor, I got this text from my mom. From the heart doctor, heart muscles back to normal. Hope you are well. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, why are you thinking Jesus and not your heart, doctor?
I guess I have a hard time with that type of mentality because, you know, like I look at the world, right? And I see things like Palestine,
yeah.
Right? And I'm like, you think you're more important than an entire group, an entire people.
An entire people.
Like,
mind you, her doctor is Muslim.
Sure.
That makes it even more like, what? Thank you, Jesus, for helping this Muslim doctor save precious me. I don't know why he chose me to live. I must be so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And all of the people around the world that died today, well, I guess they just aren't as awesome.
I guess I'm much more like I guess I've always been more of a fan of the clockmaker's version of God for people to have because it makes more sense to me, right?
If you're gonna believe
in a God,
yeah,
that makes more sense to me because how can you look at all the shit that's happening in the world to people and to places and to just all the things, and then think that God was involved in this small thing for you?
That's actually one of the points on this list as well, which I appreciated.
Right?
Yeah. Number six, the more opportunities, I felt like this was very related to the one we just read, self-determination, enjoyment of life, and self-fulfillment.
Yeah.
Number six is the more opportunities there are for self-realization in work and leisure, the more attention shifts from religious to secular practices. It kind of feels like an extension of the same thing.
Yeah.
But there was an extra note. Because with their wide range of cultural, entertainment, and leisure activities, modern societies offer a range of alternatives to religious lifestyles or quote unquote distractions such as work, family, friendship, entertainment, and consumerism.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it goes back to what you said early on. We be too busy.
Right.
We got shit to worry about, people to take care of, stuff to do. Things to buy.
Yeah.
Chinese food to order.
Right.
You know? Classes to take, you know? Art to paint.
Right, right.
Books to read.
Yeah.
Work to get to in the morning.
Sure.
Cars to fix.
Right.
all the things.
All the things.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm so glad my mom is doing well. I'm so glad that her heart muscles are coming together nicely and that she is in good health.
Yeah.
I really am. I don't want it to sound like I'm not glad of that. I am very glad of that.
Well, I don't want to take away from people who think that they want to thank God, right? But at the same time, I just can't understand it because why? Again, it's the scale, right? Like, how is it that you... What are you thanking God for? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, because if you're thanking God for pulling through, then is the implication that's like, I just don't understand because, like, the implication is that God had something to do with it, right? Or God has a plan. But if God has a plan, then part of God's plan is to kill all the Palestinian children and women.
And what?
Like,
why?
I just don't understand
that
how that's part of a plan.
Right.
So, I'm not trying to diminish, like, I understand why people thank God, right? And I'm not saying that I don't understand the want to do that if you are religious.
Where does gratitude for what happened and yay, let's celebrate that I'm alive, where does that cross over into, and instead of thinking the person that had a hand in it, the doctor and all the medical staff, I'm saying that God did that.
Right.
Like, whoa, hold on. What, let's just celebrate that you're alive and doing well. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah,
I don't need to be grateful to anything more than the advances in medicine and the people who made that happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because her heart doctor is awesome. I've met the guy. I've had multiple conversations with him. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that he helped my mom. And you know, before the surgery, my mom and dad asked if they could pray with him. And he was like, not even taken aback at all. He was like, of course.
No. And I you know what? I would do the same thing, right? Being an atheist, I would. Like, yeah. I would never be that person that's like, oh, no, I'm not going
to do an atheist. I can't pray with you. Even though you're about to go into a surgery and could die, right?
Like, right. Yeah.
They're going to be touching the inside of your fucking heart.
I'll suck up my pride for you in that moment. You know, like that's a thing that I will do.
But that's a kindness that you're doing because you care about the other person's feelings.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, I mean, this doctor, he is so kind. Like, the prayer that he did with them, it was so nice. Yeah. Like, he actually led the prayer for them. Huh. And it brought me to tears. Like, it was, you know, he was just like, you know, please give strength and wisdom to my hands to help this woman and her heart be, I forget what all it was, but sure. It was humble and it was perfect for bridging the difference between the difference and the sameness in their two faiths.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful moment for me as an atheist to see these two people from different faiths together and to see that, you know, in this one moment, they were celebrating the same God. Like, that was such a beautiful spiritual moment.
Sure.
And I really appreciated it. As an atheist, even, I can appreciate that, you know?
Right.
I'm not blind to humanity, to the beauty in humanity. Right. And that's what that was. But I don't know where I was going with all that.
Sure. Sure.
Anyway, he's awesome and my mom is silly. The end. But her heart's in good shape. So, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
All right. Number 7. The differentiation of society generally has a negative effect on religiosity, but can also strengthen religious plurality in specific areas.
Okay.
Differentiation of society, meaning like naming all the different groups that we are, like right. all the different labels.
Sure.
All the different groups that might be persecuted. Right?
Sure.
Is where that was going.
Yeah.
Naming all of the different groups has a negative effect on religiosity because, like, let's think, for example, the LGBTQIA group, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
if you're around them all the time, it's not going to be as easy to hate them.
Well, not only that, but as we name different groups and we say, hey, that group is being persecuted, then they gain more recognition as a people who exist.
Right.
And as a people who deserve the same rights and humanity as any other group.
Right. You're forced to face it and deal with it as a society.
Mm-hmm. So I just like, it's like you can know this is true, but the phrasing of it I found so like question, you know, it made me think.
Yeah.
The differentiation of society generally has a negative effect on religiosity, but can also strengthen religious plurality in specific areas. So as these different groups, for example, again, LGBTQIA, gains its notoriety or gains recognition as a people who deserve human rights like anybody else, mm-hmm. religiosity can push back.
Sure.
And yeah. be like, the hell you say, you know, fuck queer folk, which is, you know,
something that's bad happening and wrong. Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And also fuck those religious people.
Yeah.
Who say that.
Well, yeah.
Just to be clear.
Obviously.
For any new listeners, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what we think.
No.
We love our queer listeners. And yeah.
Yes.
Sorry. I don't know where I was going with that either. I think I'm headed towards the end of my like thinky bits. Okay. So then number 8, external religious coercion through institutional rules and community expectations stops people internalizing religious ideas and practices.
Say that one more time.
External religious coercion through institutional rules and community expectations stops people internalizing religious ideas and practices. That kind of goes with what you were saying, where People who, like, they're just going through the motions. They call themselves Christians because they go to church every Sunday and they do all the things. They're doing all the things so they don't internalize their faith.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
They just have it. And then when you start asking them,
what is that? We call it Sunday Christians.
Not necessarily. Maybe they really are like, sure, I'm a Christian. I do all the Christian things.
Right.
And then, but you start asking them, what does that mean? And you start asking them, what do you believe? And they're like, I don't know the things. I go to church every Sunday and Wednesday. I read the fucking devotional every day. I believe the things.
Right.
You know, the things.
Yeah.
And you're like, but tell me about the things. And they're like, but I didn't internalize it. It's just the things.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, it's a practice, not a choice.
Sure. Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I just do it by rote. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you have no interest in it then.
Yeah.
I think that's what always kills me, the people that, like, they call themselves Christian, but they don't actually do any of the parts that show that they have an interest in it. Whereas I have an interest in everything. So I'm like signed up for all of these different online class things where I read so much different stuff. Like, I want to learn everything about everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I don't quite. I mean, I do understand because most people just don't have time for that shit, right? Like, they're not going to have time to study the Bible. They're just taking it
through tradition and through
their life.
You would tell me this is the most important factor of who you are.
Right.
And you don't have time?
No,
to learn everything you can about it?
You know I agree with you. I've railed against this a couple of times in the past, I'm sure. And it's one of those things where I kind of see both sides also. Because they've grown up with it. And they can't see their way out of it, so they're just in it, you know. Like there's no way to get out of it.
No, I see that, but then when I ask, you know, questions about it, and they're like, like, why doesn't the light bulb go off, and why don't they start thinking, oh, you're right.
Well, think of how much is involved in leaving that religion. You've grown up in that religion. You're still in that religion. All your friends and family are in that religion. Like, it's very difficult.
I'm not telling anybody to leave their religion. I'm just saying this is the most important part of your identity.
You should know more.
Why aren't you interested in knowing more? And now that I've asked that question, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to learn more? Or are you going to even ask yourself, like, maybe I don't like this. Maybe I never even thought about it.
Well, but, like, gravity is really important to us, right? We don't know everything about
it. I don't walk around with it as an identity on my t-shirt.
But I'm just saying.
I don't go knocking on doors saying, have you been gravitated?
I'm just saying that they take it for granted as something that exists. Much like we take for granted that gravity exists.
But clearly they don't take it for granted if they wear it around their fucking neck as a reminder and a signal. And if they go buy stickers for their car. And if they give up money out of their budget, and if they go knocking on doors, they don't take it for granted if they're trying to get other people to join their club.
Right.
If they feel threatened, they're not taking it for granted.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways, is what I'm saying.
I
understand that it's never occurred to you before because you grew up in it. I grant you that, okay?
Yeah.
You've never been asked before these questions, and it's never even entered your little brain, right?
Sure.
I get it. Brand new conversation, right? So now I'm asking you, Christianity is the most important part of who you are. It's your entire identity is wrapped up in it, right?
Right.
So now that I've asked you, are you like totally and completely fucking like, wow, I am interested in learning more? You know what the answer is? No. You know how I know that? Because I asked my mom, like, there's these different classes, the Great Courses, for example, has these how to understand the Old Testament or how to understand the New Testament or,
sure.
You know, Rome during the whatever, blah, 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 when fucking religion, Christianity, like all of the different history things. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like telling my mom, hey, you can sign up for these for free through the library, blah, blah, blah. And then you can, you know, watch these. And she's like, And it wasn't just like this particular class or whatever. I was like, well, would you be interested if it was a different program? Not really. And I'm like, you're not interested in anything that says how to understand the Old Testament better? Not really.
Okay, but you're talking about your parents who shopped for a church to find one that was based around the same opinions that they had. Opinions mm-hmm. on what religion should be. Mm-hmm. So they found a church that matches what they wanted. They were looking for a reason to be able to...
Oh, they go... They're back in a brick-and-mortar church now.
You told me that, actually, yeah. Yeah. Because they wanted people, right? Yeah,
they met people.
But part of that, for some... I think some people, and I'm not saying even the majority of people, but some people want to be able to have their ideas and just feel comfortable in them, right? They just mm-hmm. want these things to be true, and so they go find somebody that tells them they're true. And then as long as that person keeps telling them it's true, they're fine, they're happy, and yay God.
I guess I just cannot understand something being so part of my identity and then not wanting to learn everything I possibly can about it. That doesn't track for me.
I agree with you.
The answer wasn't, no, because I'm already studying these other things over here. It wasn't, I'm interested in learning, yes, but I'm doing these things already. It was, nah, I'm not really interested in learning anything more than what I already fucking know. And it's like, oh, so you're not fucking that interested. So it's really more about the appearance of it being part of your identity. And it's not really part of your identity and your interest. You're not interested in it. You're interested in people thinking that you're interested in it. And those are two separate things.
Yeah. For a lot of people, it's the imagery in the club. Mm-hmm. It's the social aspect of it. It's the... And yes, it is. They do believe, but they believe because of the socialness, the club, the inherent importance of it in society. And whether they believe or not, they believe. Like it doesn't. Like they have. They definitely believe, right? But the reason they got there, that's what I question. Like the reason they got there is. For what reason brought you to this specific church, this specific belief? Because you sought this out for yourself so that you could be the way that you are. So did you find God or did God find you? Because it feels more like it's the first one. You found your God. God didn't come to you.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I find
it's their personal Jesus.
It's very annoying, is what it is. It's very annoying because there are a lot of ways that I identify as, and I try to seek information about those things because I'm interested in them.
Yeah.
There's a reason that I identify as them. You know, sure. I identify as a writer, a person who writes words. Therefore, I try to learn all the different ways of writing and reading and books and the written word and oral history, you know, all the things.
Right.
And I said oral history. I know somebody in the Discord is about to go to town on that. Okay. Number 9, traditional Christianity in Europe thrives more on majority appeal. I'm sorry. Majority approval than on competition and conflict. They present themselves as members of a threatened majority religion that must assert itself against the growing presence of the foreign. The study concludes from this that the perceived threat posed by competing belief systems seems to have a reinforcing effect on religiosity only if it is already deeply rooted in the population.
Okay.
So that kind of goes with what you were saying earlier, I just lost my train of thought. Majority approval. So there's like the whole large religion, right? And then it feels threatened or perceives that there's a threat by a competing belief or a competing belief system.
Yeah.
So because it is already deeply rooted in the population, then it, you know, tries to fight the other competing one.
Okay.
But if it's not that deeply rooted, then it's like, eh, whatevs.
Right, right.
Live and let live or whatever.
Sure.
But I like the part where it says they present themselves as members of a threatened majority religion that must assert itself against the growing presence of the foreign. Like, that's exactly where the U.S. is at currently.
Yeah.
They're like, only Christian. The United States is Christian. It's a Christian nation built on Christian principles.
Well, the media is playing into that.
Oh, yeah.
That definitely. Fear, that
the fear of
dwindling
the other.
Sense that the sense that your religion, your identity as white Christian Americans is dwindling mm-hmm. rapidly because of the secular and this liberal group over here. And so they're using that as a reason to enforce religion and revamp religion and bring it back, because you got to fight. You got to fight hard to keep what we have, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you could just believe whatever you want to believe over there, and we'll believe whatever we want to believe, and we just all be cool, you know? Like,
live and let live.
Let's just be chill, man.
We could just live and let live.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We could just, you leave me alone. We could just, you don't put your religious laws on me.
Right.
We could just, I could have an abortion or be gay if I want to.
Right.
You know, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I could just be involved with a person who isn't white if I want to, you know.
Speaking of which, I was at the gas station today.
Yeah.
I hadn't told you this story yet.
No, that's why I'm like.
Right. Yeah.
How is this relevant?
I was at the gas station and I noticed this Vietnam vet guy wearing a hat. Looked a little sour, like he wasn't real happy sounding. But and then there was this couple, this black man and white woman that were in the store.
Okay.
And the black guy was walking around saying, good morning to everybody, just being real cheerful, real nice. Like, I mean, really great guy. Like, I had a small conversation with him. There was a couple other people I had a small conversation with. He's just really excited to be there and, like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that guy's kind of cool. Well, both the Vietnam vet and this couple were up at the register at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the white Vietnam vet guy just kind of like stared at them the whole time with a glower. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that seems like it's going in the wrong direction over mm-hmm. here. And then on my way out, they both were kind of leaving at the same time and they had parked right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And this Vietnam vet guy stood outside of his car on his driver's side facing this guy's truck, glowering at him. Like, with the sourest fucking look I've ever seen, and then started shaking his head no.
Are you kidding me?
No. No, I'm like, holy fucking shit. Wow, like, I just witnessed, like, direct racism. Terrible direct racism.
Like, you know right why there. I'm he like, was shaking his head.
Yeah. I'm like,
wow.
This is fucking crazy. And I mean, I know it exists, right? I know that exists out there.
Right.
But, like, to just see it happen at the gas station in the morning on my way in, I'm like, oh, my God. That is fucking crazy.
Like, it makes you want to, like, walk up to him and shake your head at him.
Oh,
like,
I did. I stared him down from where I was. I mean, I wasn't going to... What am I going to go over there and confront a fucking old Vietnam vet guy?
Right.
Like, that's whatever. But I did stare at him and shook my head at him. I said, so...
Damn.
But I don't know if he saw me or not, but it made me feel better at least. So,
right?
Yeah.
Like, just to be clear to anybody who isn't, who doesn't understand what we're talking about, or who maybe is in a different country, not the US, and is like, what is that? The Vietnam vet was clearly displeased about a mixed race couple and right. was shaking his head that, a black man would take a white woman, or that a white woman would allow herself to be disgraced with a black man. Right. That's what that was about.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting that he thought that way.
Yeah.
So, all right. That brings us to the, let's see, the final point, number 10. Small religious communities benefit from conflicts with the majority society, especially when they also represent non-religious interests.
Okay.
Do you need me to read that again?
Yeah.
Small religious communities, so like the one that you grew up in.
Sure.
Kind of. Benefit from conflicts with the majority society, especially when they also represent non-religious interests.
Okay.
Not really sure.
That doesn't feel like what I grew up in. That just that feels like minority religions or minority groups benefit from conflicts with the larger group because it gives them something to stand against on those larger groups. Like, well, we don't stand for that. Come over here. We believe this.
Anti-identifying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's what it says within the context, just to give it more context. Evangelical and Pentecostal groups in the U.S. and Latin America use a subcultural identity to distance themselves from the majority society while at the same time influencing it through social and political interventions. For example, on issues such as abortion and homosexuality. The study shows that their relationship with the rest of society is marked by the conflicting simultaneity of separation and connection.
Okay.
This often has an identity-forming effect on members who can thus apply their faith effectively in socio-political debates. So it gives them an identity.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. And that makes sense. It gives you something to stand on that sets you apart, right?
Right, right. So you can be that small-time little religious dude that shows up at a high school and a high school football game and wants to do prayer on the goal line. Right.
Right.
And so it's small that becomes national news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what that story is.
Yeah. And because you're willing to take your religion that far, you make national news and you also come across as, like, the way it comes across is I'm more religious than, like, you should be shamed about how unreligious you are because I'm so religious, I'm doing this.
I'm devoutipotamus.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Which is so funny because that guy wasn't even from that fucking town or whatever.
No, I know. That whole thing was crazy.
Yeah.
And then there was a movie, apparently.
Oh, really?
I think they made a movie about him. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Not interested.
No, no, not at all.
Speaking of movies, okay, this is a little off topic, but kind of not really. What was the name of that movie that you and I just watched?
One More Battle or One Battle After Another?
One Battle After Another. That movie was fucking brilliant.
It really was.
And I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
It made a caricature of everybody, like, but in such a good way.
Yeah. No, it was a really great movie.
Yeah. And I would love to have a conversation with anybody who's seen it. Honestly. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. Well, did you have anything else to add? Or is that the...
That was the 10 points of that article and the study.
Okay.
And the press release.
Well, we're right at about an hour. So I feel like this is a good place as any to end the podcast. And
Well, I guess... No, let me ask you this.
Okay.
As we head out, having gone through all those points and now been introduced to that study, do you feel like in the world, not just the U.S.,
sure.
Do you feel like in the world today, do you feel a little more hopeful that religiosity is becoming less important? Or does that knowledge butt up right against what you are and feeling?
I guess I already knew it was becoming less important globally, but like, what does that actually mean? It doesn't really mean anything to me. I live in the Midwest where religion is becoming more in my face than ever in my entire life.
Because of that almost.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, it's great to know that, like, you know, Scandinavian countries generally are much less religious or, you know, the UK is less religious or whatever. Like, all these places are awesome, right?
Yeah.
Except for where I live.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, we say this, it's just a trope at this point, but like, we do this podcast because it affects us directly.
Personally.
Religion affects us directly.
Personally.
Every fucking day. And it's not just religion, it's the hate that goes along with it, which is why the guy doing the racist thing at the gas station today fits right into this podcast, because that guy, mm-hmm. I guarantee, is a quote-unquote Christian.
Yes.
Right? And there's other things that happened recently where people were quote-unquote Christians in my life where I'm like, nope, terrible person. Like, I mean, I could go on and on and on about shit that is not right, but it's still things I have to deal with on a daily basis and people I have to interact with on a daily basis. So whether or not it's declining globally or people are having less this, that, or the other, it's more of a conversation in my life than I've ever had to have, regardless, even separate from this podcast. People that don't even know I have this podcast, it's just something that is always there. It's always in front of me. It's always mm-hmm. something I have to deal with. And in our politics, too, and in just social everything, is the religion is so wrapped up in it right now in the U.S. And we can't get away from it. So the decline is wonderful and great, and I don't see it.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, it's good to know on a global basis, but it doesn't really impact me on a daily personal level because it's not what I'm currently experiencing.
Yeah.
What I'm currently experiencing is where I work is a bunch of fucking boomers on the decline. And so all of their TVs are set to fucking Fox News.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And hearing racist things about the people of color, the aides and nurses who help them.
I think that's what it is. It's just the people that proclaim these things are sometimes some of the most terrible people I've ever met, right? And so it just feels part of me just wants to be angry at religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that's not the answer because I know a lot of wonderful people that are religious, right?
Yeah.
But I know more genuinely good people in the secular world than I do in religious worlds.
Absolutely.
And I don't know, maybe that's because I seek out people on that side, but like I definitely know an equal amount, if not more, religious people than secular people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, because of where we live, we are forced to know more religious than secular people. So whenever we do seek out secular people, they're naturally, by just comparison, because we've sought them out in the first place, going to be fairly cool.
Right.
So the religious people are just around us. Whether we seek them out or not, they're there.
Yeah.
And the majority of them suck.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I don't know what else to say. Just it's something that we have to live with, and it's right there in our faces. Mm-hmm. So I got nothing else.
That was it.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for joining us today. And, again, winter is a bad time of year for us. Like, things just always tend to go wrong this time of year for us and just overall.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to get more podcasts out, but I don't want to promise anything until it warms up.
Because
we do better in warm weather.
Yep.
But we will see you next time. And don't forget to come join us on Discord.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast.
Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.